Join with me in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for this time. Lord, I pray that you speak through me this morning of the words that you've placed on my heart. Lord, help me to speak clearly and to get your message across. Thank you for using me this morning. In your name, amen. So today we are going to take a little break from the series of Daniel and dive into what hospitality looks for us today. Now, some of you might be sitting there and thinking to yourself, ooh, I am not someone who is good at having people over. This message is not for me. But hold on, don't check out quite yet. I want to encourage you to stick with me, and I hope that you can take away that hospitality is more than just having people over to your house. Now, I'm not going to give you three things that you need to add to your life in order to become better at hospitality. Instead, I hope that you can see hospitality is more of a way of living your life, so that you see any situation you're in through the lens that God wants you to see it as. The last few weeks, Miranda's been back at school as a para. We've had some people from church here watching Owen during the day, and I get the privilege of going out there in the mornings and dropping him off, and Miranda typically picks him up after school, and it's been something I've really enjoyed these times. Not because I don't love my son and don't want to spend time with my son, and I'm happy to get rid of him, but because if you've seen Owen, you know you like to spend time with Owen. But because I really enjoy those times, I get to connect with the people who are watching him for the day. And this is really me. I feel like I've been witnessing hospitality in action, of people welcoming me into their home and Owen into their home and saying, can I get you something to drink? I don't drink coffee, but I'll drink coffee sometimes because someone offers it to me. Can I get you something to drink? Or please have a seat and sit down for a little while. How long do you have to be here this morning? And I just feel this is what hospitality is all about. It's making room, as Katie mentioned, it's making room for others, making room for people at the table. So when we look at Scripture, we can see many stories of people who are making room and showing hospitality to others. It starts all the way in the book of Genesis, which is the first book, and we find Abraham sitting in his tent. So this is Genesis 18, starting at verse 2 through 5. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you shall all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you will be refreshed and can go on your way." So Abraham, he made room in his schedule to bring in these travelers. He gave them food and water, and he was willing to wash their feet, which is everything that a traveler at this time would need. And I'm sure that Abraham had things that he was hoping to get accomplished that day. He had his list of tasks that he wanted, but he was willing to put those aside to welcome in these travelers, to say, here's food, here's water, let me wash your feet. And what Abraham didn't realize, but what we read in verse 1, is that these travelers were actually angels. So imagine if Abraham had let these travelers pass by without inviting them in. He would have missed out on an encounter with angels. And it makes me think of how many times do we think we miss out on a big encounter that God has for us because we aren't willing to make time in our schedules for the things and the people that he puts in front of us. So many times we're like, oh, I have this to do instead, so someone else can deal with that person. But how many times do we miss out on those big encounters that God has for us? The Old Testament has many other stories about welcoming strangers and travelers in, just like this one. And there's actually even laws written about how to welcome strangers and travelers into your homes and people who are coming through. And as we read through these stories in the Old Testament, and I invite you to check them out on your own, we find that hospitality looks like this. It looks like when a stranger comes into your home, you treat them as family. You take care of their needs and you welcome them in as if it were someone who you're related to is coming to your house. That's how we treat strangers. And then when we jump to the New Testament, we find that the followers of Jesus were living the same hospitable life that we find Abraham was living and other people in the Old Testament. They were welcoming strangers into their home. So in case you didn't know, Jesus didn't have a home that he went back to each night. He was completely reliant on the hospitality of other people to invite him into their houses and to take care of them, to provide him with food and shelter. And it was the same for Paul, who was one of the greatest missionaries of the early church. They would just show up in a town, and they didn't know where they're going to sleep. They didn't know what they were going to eat or who they're going to eat with, but people would welcome them into their homes. They received hospitality from people because Christians were known as a people who said, if you have a need, I am here to help you. I will be there for you when you have that need. And as we look at what hospitality looks like in the Bible, we can see that we are supposed to be hospitable to friends, just like the people who welcomed Jesus and Paul into their homes, because a lot of those people knew them beforehand, and they welcomed in, saying, "Welcome back, friend." But we're also supposed to be hospitable to strangers, just like Abraham was to those travelers, those angels who went by, and he said, "Come into my house, let me give you food and drink, and wash your feet." Now, the word hospitality, if you don't know what it means love of strangers. So we actually know that making room for strangers is a big part of hospitality. But Scripture also tells us that it's important to be hospitable to one another, meaning it's important to be hospitable to those who you know, to those other Christians who you may already know. And in Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2, the story of Abraham is so well known that it gets shared here again. And verse 1 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters." So this is that friend kind of hospitality, a person that you may already know. Keep on loving your brothers and sisters. And then verse 2 continues saying, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it." Referring back to Abraham when he invited the strangers or the travelers in. So this story in Hebrews, or this passage in Hebrews, is pointing back to the church's early roots. It's reminding the early church that this is our heritage. This is who we are as a church. We are hospitable people. We are hospitable to friends and to strangers. And in other words, we make room for friends and we also make room for strangers. In Luke 14, Jesus is talking with a bunch of Pharisees, and this is what Katie read this morning. It says, "When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich friends, or rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you." Jesus is reminding us that it's not just about our friends that we make room for, but it's also about the strangers who may never be able to pay us back. We may never even see them again, but we need to welcome them in, to make room for them in our homes and in our lives. Hospitality is, being hospitable is not about just making room for those you trust or those who you're comfortable sharing your things with. It's sometimes about getting yourself uncomfortable and saying, "I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how this is going to play out, but I know that I have a God who wants me to make room for the people who are around me and to open up the things that I have to provide for the needs that they have." Saying, "I don't know, but I know God, and he wants me to do this." The hospitality that we give others is not based on where they are at with God. We don't make room because of who they are. We make room because of who we are and because of who lives inside of us. That is why we practice hospitality. So let's say a stranger shows up on your farm. Let's say that they show up, they're knocking at your door, and they're like, "Hey, my car ran out of gas about a quarter mile down the road. Can you help me out?" And you're like, "Oh man, that's such a bummer. I have a question for you first, though. Where is your relationship with Jesus?" And they're taken back a little bit, and they're like, I guess I don't have a relationship with Jesus." And you're like, "Oh, well, sorry, I can't help you out. You'll have, maybe down the road, there's about a mile, there's another house, maybe they'll help you out, but have a good day, see you later." And that's the end of that. So I know in this little example that I just made up, it might sound like an extreme thing, because I'm pretty confident that no one will respond in that way if someone showed up to your house. I hope that no one responds in that way if someone shows up to your house saying that. But the point remains true is that it doesn't matter where others are at with God. As followers of Jesus, we are called to make room for all people and to show all people the love of God because he shows it to us. So my junior year in college, I lived in this house with seven other guys. And one of these guys, he was a part of this ministry that was on campus where they would go to a place where homeless people would spend the night, and it was actually underneath a bridge. And they would go there, they'd have conversations with them, and sometimes they would bring food to share with these homeless people. And one night, my roommate came back with a homeless guy who he had invited to sleep on our couch. And I would love to say I was so supportive of my roommate, and I would love to say I said, "Here's a pillow, here's a blanket. Actually, no, here's my bed. Sleep here tonight. I'll sleep on the couch." But I can't lie to you. I was very uncomfortable with this guy sleeping in our house. I didn't know who he was, but I trusted my roommate. I knew this guy. It was in the second semester, so we'd gotten to know each other pretty well, and I knew who he was. But more importantly, I knew that he was able to discern the Holy Spirit. And I knew that if God had prompted on his heart to let this guy stay in our house, that we should let this guy stay in our house. So although I was uncomfortable, we made room. My roommate made room for this guy who probably thousands of people overlooked every single day as they walked by or drove by him on the streets of Chicago. And that this is the exact same thing that Jesus showed time and time again throughout his life. He made room for the people who many would overlook. In a world where men were everything, Jesus made room for children. He said, "Let the children come to me." He made room for the lepers, for the lame, for the blind. He made room for women like Mary and Martha, and he wanted them to have conversations with him, to be with him. Jesus really stretched the culture that he was living in. He made people uncomfortable when he made room for the people that many overlooked. Sometimes we need to stretch ourselves by getting a little uncomfortable with who we make room for. Maybe there's someone who comes to mind or someone you think about and you're like, well, someone else will say hi to them this morning, or someone else will say good morning to them or invite them out to lunch afterwards. But what if it's you that God is asking to do that? What if this is your angel encounter like Abraham had? What if out of our discomfort, we can experience seeing these people the way that God sees these people? We can all learn so many things about how to live our life when we look at the life of Jesus and how he displayed hospitality to those who were around him. Now, Jesus, he was a busy man. He traveled around teaching, he traveled around healing people and often challenging the way that people were thinking. Yet through all of this, he still made room for others. He still took the time out of his schedule for other people. And I want to remind you that Jesus didn't have a house to go back to each night. He would travel around receiving that hospitality from others who would invite him in. But we can still look at his life and confidently say, Jesus lived a life of hospitality. One of the first stories that comes to my mind when I think of hospitality in Jesus is the story of when Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha. And this is at the end of Luke 10. So I'm going to give you a little summary of it. It's at this point, Martha is completely freaking out about being a host to Jesus. She's running all around trying to get everything done perfectly right. So Jesus calls her out on it by saying, Martha, take a deep breath. Sit and enjoy our time together just like Mary is doing. You don't need to stress about everything being so big and so perfect. Just enjoy this time that we get to have together. Just relax. Be with me. Jesus reminds us that it's all about the people that matter most. We need to make room in our times for conversations and sharing stories together, allowing our friendships to grow as we learn more about one another. It's not about having the right amount of silverware at each place setting. And frankly, I appreciate when there's only one spoon and one fork because I get confused of when I'm supposed to use each fork and each spoon. So let's not overcomplicate things. Let's make room to be together. And this morning, I'm preaching to myself as much as I am preaching to you when I say, keep things simple. I can't tell you how many times I want to reach out to someone because I feel prompted to reach out to them and I just don't know the right words to say. So then I don't say anything at all. Or that sometimes I feel like, oh, we should have them over for dinner. But then in my head, I'm like, oh, well, they're probably busy and this week doesn't work for me, so I'll talk to them later. But then later never comes. And when or later does come and I still don't ask them. I get to this place where I just make things so complicated in my head that I never allow the actions to follow the promptings on my heart. Have you ever been in a place like this, where you just get so in your head that you can't actually put things into action? If not, praise God that you are more bold than I am. And I pray that you can continue doing that, continue to pursuing those actions that God prompts you with. But if you have been in a place like this, like I have, and often, then let me remind you as I remind myself, keep it simple. Don't feel like you need to make it a big production to have someone over. Don't feel like you need to say the perfect thing. Just say something to those people who you feel prompted to reach out to. Take that first step in inviting someone to come over for dinner by actually asking them. Make those plans. You don't even need to ask them to come to your house. You could say, hey, let's go out and eat and go somewhere else where you don't even have to worry about cleaning up your house. Just take that first step. Keep it simple. And I think if you take some time to think about how you can simplify making room for other people, I bet you'll be surprised with the things that you can come up with. Miranda and I, we did this last night. We came up with a few things of how we can simplify making room. And one of the three things that we came up with, the first one was keep Freezy Pops in your freezer. For any kid who may stop by your house and you just have something sweet and delicious for them to enjoy. And they're cheap. But they love them. Another thing we came up with was get off your phone at lunchtime and be with the people who are around you. Whether that's your coworkers or your classmates, get off your phone and have a conversation with the people around you. And the third thing we came up with was go grab your empty garbage can when your neighbor is outside and start a conversation with them. and just ask how they're doing. Maybe it lasts for 3 minutes, maybe it lasts for 10 minutes, who knows how long, but just have a conversation. Sometimes I wait and I see, oh, my neighbor's out. Okay, now's my time to go get my garbage. And sometimes I just need to keep it simple and just be like, hey, how are you doing? And have those conversations. Don't avoid people, but be intentional with reaching out to them. So all this sounds pretty great, and you're like, oh, this isn't so bad. But maybe you're someone asking, well, why? Why should I do this? Why should I make room for others in my life? Why should I live the life of hospitality? Even though, besides it just sounding good, like, I live a life of hospitality. That sounds good, but why? Why should we do it? So our church has recently begun partnering with Safe Families for Children. And a few weeks ago, they came here to share what they're all about to anyone who is interested in volunteering with them. And if you weren't able to be there, I want to share some things that they mentioned that relate to hospitality, which is a huge part of what Safe Families for Children is all about. It's just reaching out to people who are in need and walking alongside them in that hard time of life. So they mentioned in this training that hospitality benefits both those who receive it and those who give it. When we show hospitality to others, it can provide healing through support and being connected. It reminds people that they don't have to go through those tough times alone, that they are seen by people around them. And I know we all want to be seen. We all want to walk into a room and someone say, hi, how are you doing? Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. We all want to know that we matter to someone. And that's what hospitality can do to others. And at the same time, those who are showing hospitality are also benefiting. When you show hospitality, it often gives you a sense of purpose. And if you're doing it as a family, it can give your family a purpose together. Have you ever had someone over for a meal, or maybe you have them over to play a game, or you go over to someone's house to help them out, or go over to someone's house to help them with a project, and when you get done, you just have this good feeling. You just feel good inside, and you feel like you've accomplished something, and it makes you kind of want to do it again and again. I can't tell you how many times Miranda and I have had someone over to our house, or we've gone to go over to someone's house, and we just leave the night, and we're like, that was such fun. We should do this again soon, and we should invite someone else over. Here's the next person we should invite. And it just gets you, it fills you with purpose. It fills you with joy as you do this. And this is something I think is so important as you begin to figure out how to live that life of hospitality is I want to challenge you to find that thing or those things that fill you with joy. When you get to do them, it just makes you filled with joy as you make room for others. It shouldn't be a chore to practice hospitality. And it's not something just to check off the list saying, well, did that for the month. See you next month. I'll do something else. But it's something that should make us long to do it. We should be excited that we get to practice hospitality, that we get to live the life of hospitality every time that it happens. So this is the reason why we should all live a life of hospitality, because it benefits both the people who receive it, but it also benefits us who give it. And beyond that, maybe the most important reason that we should practice hospitality is because it's what God our Father has done for us. When Jesus was with his disciples after the Last Supper, he tells them this in John 14, verses 2 through 3. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. We welcome others into our lives, into our home to share a meal in the same way as Jesus is saying here. He's saying, come and be with me. We look forward to this moment when God says to us, come to my house. Share in my banquet meal with me. Stay with me. You are welcome here. I've made room for you. But until that day when there's a new heaven and a new earth, I want all of you as my representatives of me to show that kind of care to everyone you come across, to welcome them into your house, to meet their needs with your resources. And I'll be honest, hospitality does come at a cost. Sometimes it costs a little bit of money to buy the things that you need for people to come over or to pay for whatever they are doing. It also often costs your time. But I want to encourage you that as you begin to live this life of hospitality, you will begin to feel blessed as you begin to bless others. As we're here on this earth, we need to take the opportunities that are in front of us to make room for those who are around us. Welcome them into your home. Allow them to take time in your schedule. Make room for having intentional conversations with people as to go deeper into getting to know who they are and who God has made them to be. Because that's what hospitality is all about. saying, I see you and I want to work on building our relationship together. I want to build the friendship that we have together. You are valuable to me because you are valuable to God. So church, let's make room. Let's make room for others and invite them in. Join with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you've made room for us. Lord, we thank you that we have a place in your home. Lord, we pray that as we are challenged to make room for others, that you prompt on our hearts the people, you give them the names, the faces that we are supposed to reach out to, whether we know them or not. Lord, get us uncomfortable so that we lean into you. Lord, thank you for making room for us, and I pray that you give us those opportunities to make room for others. In your name we pray. Amen.